I really like the idea of like a musician having a mental breakdown while playing Y'all Ready for This, where it just stays on the one thing, like it never fluctuates.
Yeah,
it's just
sure.
Well, you know what kind of DJ that would be? It's the DJ at a roller rink.
Why?
Because they
fucking love playing Too Unlimited, dude.
They play that song.
I remember that.
Oh, is that true?
All the time. It's like that and maybe, I don't know, Cotton Eyed Joe by Rednecks.
Okay, this is our cold open. We're talking about roller rinks, boys.
Roller rink talk.
If I was a roller rink DJ, I would just play Prokofiev's Peter and the Wolf.
Yeah?
Ooh. I think that creates a nice atmosphere
just
for everyone.
Just like fuck with the kids.
Yeah.
I really want the guy from the Boys Are Back in Town story on Twitter to like
Tim Faust?
my friend Tim Faust.
Is someone Josh knows personally?
Oh, is that really?
Yeah,
personally?
Do you want to get him on the show?
Yeah,
we can get him on the
that.
Show.
I would love
yeah.
that, but I think it would be so funny if the guy from that story who said, you better not fucking dare play the Boys Are Back in Town again. If in fact that guy went to a roller rink,
yes,
and they started playing the Boys Are Back in Town.
Okay, so
the minute he walked
is
in.
Is this a universal roller rink experience, or was this just a Gallup, New Mexico thing?
Okay.
I am asking now.
Us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
Okay. So our roller rink in Gallup, which may still be open today, I'm not certain.
Okay.
Was in a weird, it's kind of in the middle of town, but nothing is there in the middle of town. It's just like ditches.
Okay.
But it's
very hard to get to the roller rink. You have to jump over all these ditches.
It's super hard to skate in
those
ditches.
I'm not joking. It is hard to get to the roller rink.
I believe you.
And when you drive past it, it doesn't look like a functional building. It's like
sure.
paint is peeling. It's broken down. It looks like an abandoned shack.
Yeah.
When you go inside, the vibes are immaculate. Totally
okay.
90s. You got galaxies on the floor. You got the arcade games.
You got
Street
that
Fighter.
Smell.
Yeah.
Oh, the
you got
know
the skates,
one.
You got the floor,
you've got the
you got the
sticks.
DJ, you got the all that stuff. Yeah. But outside, it's like maybe a Wolfman lives
here. Oh yeah,
here.
No, that's that. I feel like that is the quintessential skating center experience.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, because in Grand Rapids, there were really two skating centers that would be used for skating parties.
Do they call them skating centers out there? That sounds like a government front.
I mean, it kind of those buildings kind of look like a government front too,
yeah,
right?
Okay.
But
yeah.
Wouldn't it be really funny if at the heart of every single conspiracy there was just a roller rink?
Yeah.
Just like Area 51 is just littered with roller rinks.
Like, it's just a bunch of space aliens.
It's
like yeah,
we love this.
I love Cotton Eye Joe.
Where did you come from? Where did you go?
This is the unfortunate thing for the audience is because we are making very fun arm movements as aliens who are skating.
Yeah, well, paint that in a picture in your head. It's just three adult men making alien arm movements.
So many possible worlds.
Welcome to the Worst of All Possible Worlds, the first and only podcast hosted by adult extraterrestrials. I'm the worst of all possible Joshes.
I'm the worst of all possible Angels.
And I'm the worst of all possible Bryans.
This
and our guest today
is
from Area 51
right.
Skating Rink.
Oh.
Say hello to Glork Gloober.
Or as you might know her, Tara Lipinski.
Tara Lipinski.
Oh, yeah, skating
yeah,
center.
Yeah.
Tara Lipinski.
That's a different kind of skating, though.
Put on some blades
yeah.
and she rolled
yeah, so
in
you're talking about
the
these were just for roller skating, no ice
no
skating.
No ice skating. Because
that's a San Diego, AJ.
Yeah.
That's where you're from.
Sure is. Mm.
What was your roller skating rink like?
Never been to a single roller skating
really?
Rink in my life.
You never went to a birthday party?
No, we had an ice rink, actually. Isoplex. Where
did you
we
go,
would
did
do...
you go to ice rink then?
Yeah,
did you go
we went
to
ice rink all the time. We
so,
you know, they make
the
that ice out of the spit that they aimed at God's face when they built it.
In San, you know, the fact that we founded a town in San Diego, that was spitting in God's face.
So here's my question.
Yes.
I remember with roller rinks, you know, real 90s kids remember
yeah.
that I think it was usually like a biannual skating party that would be a school event
yeah
that would be held at the roller rink, right? There would be one song that they would play
And it would be like, I don't know, fucking God must have spent a little more time on you or some shit like that.
Hell,
you know?
Like, oh, hell okay. Yeah.
Something along those lines. Uh-huh. And the rule was, if you wanted to stay out there skating, you had to either be able to skate backwards or if you were skating forwards, you had to be holding somebody's hand.
I remember it started to become like a, towards the end of the year, like maybe the day after field day, which was always kind of like 2 days before the end.
Sure.
There was kind of a vote that we'd put things up to. And in later years, everyone just wanted to go bowling, which was awful for me because I am a wretched. I'm talking God abandoned me bowler. I am horrible at this shit.
What?
So I always wanted to go skating, but at some point my class just didn't want to do the gay shit anymore.
Sure.
Well, I mean, how can you be, what? Like bowling.
Very easily in my case.
You just put the bumpers on if you're really bad
at
it.
You swine.
No.
You absolute fucking swine.
You brought up bowling.
I brought up bowling, but you're saying put up the bumpers and now Josh is going to be mad at me for the rest of the night.
All right, look.
He's going to be mad at me.
Let's bring it in. The reason that we're talking about these classic 90s pursuits of roller skating and bowling is that our subject matter today on the show is something that
that's why we did it.
firmly grounded in the 1990s.
Yeah,
correct.
We are talking about the classic television game show Supermarket Sweep. Now, before we sort of dig into the history of Supermarket Sweep, I'd love to hear from both of you guys about your experience with this show in any of its iterations.
Yeah.
Did you watch it much? Were you into game shows in general? You know, what was your interaction with Supermarket Sweep?
Yeah. I mostly knew it through, I guess, parody. I must have seen part of Supermarket Sweep on TV, but I think there were also other shows that would do it as like a mini game. Like maybe you'd go on the Today Show.
Mm-hmm.
I think even Richard Simmons's other show had a shopping spree component to it.
Oh.
Not, I think it was called Dream Maker.
Simmons? Had a game show?
It wasn't a game show. No, it was more like, this is your life?
Oh, huh.
It was like he'd get someone, what's the name? I'm thinking about a very, very old show from like the 50s. And it was like a show where people would come on and maybe they were people who got kicked around by life a little bit or they wanted to do something good for people. And then like the host would sort of talk about them and talk to people who knew them, but then they'd also like get a certain amount of money to do like this thing that they want to get done, like get a medical procedure that they need or buy a new car. So Richard Simmons, I think there was an aspect of that, but I mean like sketch comedy shows and other things like this permeated the culture because I think it's so purely expressed what culture was in the 90s.
I am
a big game show fan.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that about you, Josh, but like we're both big game
love
show
a game
heads.
Show. I mean, also I don't know if I mentioned this on the show before, but like I was on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
He sure was. You and your brother Sam.
Yep. I was in the final round of callbacks for the Michael Strahan $100,000 pyramid.
I was a paid audience member for that.
Oh, okay.
Josh got picked up by Terry Crews at one point.
That's right.
Yes.
I do hope to go on Jeopardy at some point.
Yeah,
but like,
that's the dream.
Yeah, no, game shows are kind of interesting. And you're quite right that Supermarket Sweep, in terms of its core mechanics, which just to throw this out there for those of you who don't know about it because maybe you're outside the United States or you've been living
Although
under a rock.
There are many versions of Supermarket Sweep. We're talking Argentina. Mm. We're talking Japan. Mm-hmm. We're talking Vietnam. There's a Vietnamese Supermarket Sweep. There's a UK, Canada, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, but basically the gist of the game is, you know, contestants get the opportunity to run around a replica grocery store, throw items into their cart, and then they basically collect the cash value of those items as their prize.
Yeah, it's done competitively. It's like a race. And then whoever has the highest value cart takes that money home.
Yeah, and there are two components to this, right? There is the initial round where you determine how long you're going to be racing around the store.
Yeah, you can buy additional time by answering questions correctly.
Right. Yeah, and over the years, as we'll cover in this episode, those questions change. And the way that those questions change is also very, very interesting. But I actually had only got this through osmosis because I was not really a game show kid.
Got it.
With one very big exception, and that was Nickelodeon game shows.
Oh.
Yes.
So I was Legends
Double
of
Dare.
Hidden Temple. I was Double Dare.
Yeah. And you can't say that on television.
You can't say that on television. And it's one of those things where, like, you clearly see now watching Supermarket Sweep, like, all the things that are like the ramifications and the ripple effects into children's television.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like all the kids' game shows are just doing versions of these like adult game shows,
yeah.
but mm-hmm. just like tailoring them more to kids.
Yeah, and you remember when Disney Channel briefly started doing game shows?
Yeah.
Like Off the Wall. Of course, on PBS you had Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego.
In partnership
course,
with Bruderbund, yeah.
yeah.
And Where in Time is Carmen Sandiego.
Yep. Yeah, hell yeah.
Sorry.
And you know what? And you know
I'm
what?
Going here's down my rabbit hole here.
No. But here's the thing. Like, I would walk down the street in my hometown and be like, there's Carmen.
Yes, because the Christian musician Carmen was always in San Diego expelling witches.
That's right.
In Salem?
God was exalted and Satan was defeated. And.
Wow.
And you ready for this? Jesus Christ is Lord. So.
Yeah. Glorg, had you ever heard of Supermarket Sweep before? On my planet, Supermarket Sweep.
Oh, sorry, I forgot to ask a question to Glorb. I apologize.
But Supermarket Sweep was the prime form of entertainment, and the loser would be killed for blood sports.
Oh no, Glorb!
To sacrifice to our great god, Ruprecht, who ruled over us with an iron thumb.
Got it.
We escaped his world and came to yours.
So it's like
roller rinks. Hold on, I am not done. I have a very long account.
No, keep going, Glorg.
Glorg, we'll get back to
it's
you,
all right.
Okay?
Yeah, no.
I'm so sorry,
that's
guys.
Okay.
I know
okay.
I vouched for
yeah.
him.
It's so right. It's like a Japanese game show.
How dare you?
I'm all sorry, right. Was your planet a victim of Japanese colonial aggression?
It was.
Oh, man.
I hate that.
Wow. The Empire of the Rising Sun truly knows no limits.
It didn't specify which sun, did it?
We are now in the running for our worst bit ever!
Let's
show Gorb our prize! We're going to fucking kill you! Pow, 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 pow! So sorry, guys, I killed him.
And that's how we learned that Josh was an asset for Japanese intelligence.
That's right, Brian.
Oh. God, can we all just take a moment of silence?
For Glorm?
For Glorm.
It turns out we can't.
So, to sort of dig into this a little bit then, I wanted to start, as we often do on this show, by going back to how it all began, right?
Yes.
And I've prepared a very brief history of the supermarket for all of you.
Oh, great.
How many of you have played? How many of the two of you?
Yes.
Have
two now.
I thought you were polling the audience.
Because one person has died.
That's right. How many of you have played the game Oregon Trail 2?
I played Oregon Trail.
Yeah, no, the first, the second one.
No, yeah, I've played Oregon Trail.
Yeah, Oregon. Yeah.
Yeah, I've played Oregon Trail.
Come on, seriously. No, how many of you played the
Oregon? I never played it.
Okay.
Yeah, so, my brother and sister played it, and then they stopped letting us play it in the computer lab. They didn't do that for the Pioneer units for us, which also, in a school that's like 70% Navajo, very weird to do a Pioneer unit.
Yeah. God, awful.
So my exposure to sort of the old school grocery store, my best exposure to it, is in fact through that game.
Oregon Trail 2?
The Oregon Trail 2. Because in that game, when you're getting your outfit together, you go to the fucking grocer.
Yeah.
And when you're there, you basically, the way that the game works at that point is you have this big order form that you get the chance to fill out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you can say, I want this many bags of rice. I want this many cans of beans. I want this many whatever. And then basically.
Okay, sort of like a Sears catalog.
Yeah. And then once you've filled it out, you push the button and. At this point, the game, of course, abstracts the process of shopping. It just puts the items in your inventory.
Right.
But this is what grocery shopping was for a very long time. You just have your list. You'd fill out your list. You'd give it to a guy.
Yeah.
The guy would like bring it into the
back.
Yeah,
it was all behind the counter, a Soviet store.
Right. And so this is just how grocery shopping was for a very, very long time. So everything changed after
when the Fire Nation attacked.
A number of centuries of solid grossing. Grossing? Grocery?
Grossing.
Yeah.
In the year 1916, when a company known as Piggly Wiggly,
yeah, baby.
There we go.
Opened for business in Memphis. Now, this is broadly considered the first modern American supermarket. And if you want to know more about this, there's an article linked in the notes from Time Magazine. Basically, Piggly Wiggly was the first store to take all of the items and rather than keeping them behind a counter, just putting them out on the floor. and make it on the floor, on the floor of the store. Like you had to pick them up. No,
right. That's how shoplifting was born.
Yes. Like, and that's the thing, right? Like they ultimately found that even though some people could simply take these items off the shelves and walk right out the fucking door, the profits that you would get, the revenue that you would get from just being able to have people be subjected to like impulse buys, right?
Yeah,
oh, there's something, here's a stick of
Let
gum.
Me grab it.
Here's an end cap with something cool on
you
it.
You still put your employee by the door, and then the employee doesn't have to spend all this time looking for everything and grabbing everything and bagging it all up. They just have to hit the little buttons on the cash register.
Right.
And then bag it to it.
And so this was the first supermarket. And this was a brand new concept that has now been with us for over a century.
Yeah, I was going to say, supermarkets now, I feel like, are even a totally different thing from the supermarket of the Piggly Wiggly years, because like stuff like Meijer comes up and stuff like the Waltons making Walmart, where it's groceries and it's all non-perishable goods in addition to that.
And
and a camping store and like a car dealership. Like
And it's worth noting too, that the reason that these things were able to grow so fucking large was the advent of auto culture, right? Where rather than, you know, walking down to the store and picking up a couple bags of rice, now, especially after World War II, which, by the way, was when a lot of these small independent grocers went out of business.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, the normal thing to do, because everybody's got a fucking refrigerator in their house, is to get into the car, drive to the grocery store, park in a free parking lot, and walk out of the grocery store, the supermarket, with like an entire cart full of items. That's enough to last you for entire weeks.
Because then you can put it in the trunk and drive it home like that instead of having to keep it all in your arms.
Right. Which is actually a thing that's a huge difference between like how I shop here in New York City and how my friends shop in LA, right? Like they can like load up for weeks and weeks and weeks. But the nice thing is that living in a walkable city, if I need something, I don't have to hop in my car and drive like 20 minutes to get it. Right. I walk to the corner and I fucking get it.
Yeah. I would be remiss to not note that the supermarket model also means more waste, more food waste, especially when, you know, fresh produce is brought into the equation here, where these are large amounts of food being bought in bulk and a great deal of it just fucking spoils. It's a fairly inefficient system in terms of actually getting the full amount of inventory sold. But the economies of scale that it offers means that prices can be much, much, much lower.
Right. Although we do see over the course of watching Supermarket Sweep over the years how those prices have changed.
Oh, yeah. So the supermarket actually then ends up becoming a pretty potent symbol of American individualism and sort of the capitalist approach to markets in the face of Soviet collectivism, right? An ad man known as Al Howard has an idea. What if there were a show that reflected the fun and excitement of shopping at a supermarket?
And here's the funny thing. I did not realize that this was a show that started in the 60s, which is funny because really when you look at it, every game show that was big in the 80s and 90s was a remake of a previous game show.
Sure,
Jeopardy existed before. It was a little different. Wheel of Fortune existed before. It was very different. But like all of these shows exist. Like, and for the shows that were new, they were just like British first and then we brought them over. So Supermarket Sweep in the 60s is actually probably the best one. In my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, I've watched episodes of Price is Right from the 60s, and that's pretty watchable, too.
Yeah.
And also, the prizes on Price is Right from the 60s are insanely valuable.
Yeah.
Like, oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Like, we're talking about items that, like, when you adjust them for inflation, we're talking retail prices in the six figures.
Yeah.
What? Like, there was a showcase where they gave away an entire, like, a full house worth, basically, of high-end Japanese designer furniture.
Holy shit.
I'm going to have to watch some of these 60s prices. Right. But this, we were watching. So what you sent us was an episode from 67, January of 67, which was a few months after the show started.
Yep.
It is shot in color. What we don't have a color version of this. What we have is the Telecine transfer of it. So we were watching it on film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can see some of the video of if something gets blown out, it just kind of turns black. Like we see this thing with a light bulb at the beginning. But and this is thankfully for us packaged with all the commercials as well. This is quite a treat.
And this is a new upload, by the way. I had wanted to
do... Yeah, it was like 6 months ago or something.
Yeah. I had originally wanted to do this episode like a year ago, and I'm glad we didn't do it because this extremely high quality transfer all of a sudden rather than looking like ghosts from the past, these contestants actually look like people in a way that is very rare for media from this era.
What I will say is you can immediately tell who there fought in World War II.
Yeah.
Because you can see like the way PTSD that they stand in their eyes too.
Yeah.
And these like high definition like remasters of these old shows, you begin to see like the shell-shocked effects of these guys who served in World War II in a way that is just never taught.
Yeah, you
US
just
schools.
Like every single man you see on TV is just stocky and haggard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, or they didn't fight in the war and they look like chipper, and that's even weirder.
Well, the host of this one is a man named Bill Malone.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who did serve in the Navy during World War II.
You can tell he's got
and
the posture.
And he was a radio host. Mm-hmm. He was a color commentator for sports.
Yep. Born in Brooklyn, by the way, in 1924. Good Brooklyn boy.
Yeah. And this was the only television that he did, because he died in the early 70s in a car accident.
Really, oh, really unfortunate.
Shit, yeah.
I don't know that Bill Malone is doing the best job in this.
I think he's a little drunk is actually was my read on it.
I think what he's doing feels pretty typical for the era, though. He's certainly not as uncomfortable as what we're going to see a little bit later.
Yeah.
But it's a little awkward. The little questionnaire thing that he does with the audience where he's like talking to them about what they're up to is just
that's
little
so
funny.
Good. It's unhinged.
It's also like you can tell they just don't screen people in the same way in the 60s. They just get some people by mail, and those people show up and they stay in an RV that's owned by a mobile home company that's their sponsor. And then those people come on and they're not excited to be on TV in the way that is easily legible on the screen.
Yeah, well, this is this version of it, right? Like we said, this is an episode from 1967, so 2 years into this version's run. It started in 1965 and aired on ABC. This particular episode was shot in an actual supermarket in West Haverstraw, New York, which is up in the Hudson
Valley.
Where
the landslide was in 1906.
Oh,
okay.
That no one remembers because, of course, San Francisco had its earthquake. But it was a big disaster.
Okay.
Shit.
And this village at this time would have had a population like just under 5,000 or so
it's
people.
It's tiny.
Very small. But the supermarket is big.
Oh, yeah. The show. Huge. So this show floats. They do it in different locations, actual supermarkets. And you have to think about color television. They're bringing in these huge fucking cameras.
Right.
They're bringing in stalls for an audience to sit on because it is actually live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are no wireless microphones at this point either, right? You can see the host has this lavalier on a necklace that's hanging just right by his tie, and that wire is going all the way down through his pant leg and out the back.
Yeah, you can actually see the wires, like the electrical wires from the cameras, just like in shots because there's just no room.
And they have to get lights in there. You know, they have to get an antenna to be able to broadcast it back to the studio. This is crazy infrastructure to do for this tiny town. And that's why it's all of these episodes are in the New York area. They're all kind of orbiting NYC.
But like this is a major production because it is for a national network. It's for the American Broadcasting Corporation, right? Yeah. One of the big three. And
ABC.
This episode starts off with just some really uproarious applause for a Ben Franklin impersonator.
But like young Ben Franklin?
Like in the 60s, were we celebrating Ben Franklin's birthday?
I guess we are on this episode because the entire episode centers around like things that Ben Franklin did.
There's a section for syphilis, which I think is kind of a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Hey there, you are listening to a preview of a premium episode of The Worst of All Possible Worlds. If you'd like to listen to the rest of this, head on over to our Patreon. That's patreon.com/worstofall, and you can listen to not only the rest of this episode, but our entire backlog of premium episodes, bonus episodes, and if you subscribe at the $10 tier, you will get an extra episode of the podcast every single month. Again, that is patreon.com/worstofall. Hope to see you there.